Welcome to The Bear and the Body Witch, a podcast with me, Jolie Caparco.
And me, Ellie Bauer Johnston.
A couple of weirdos in love who decided to hit record on their conversations about queerness, embodiment, and magic.
Let's go.
Okay, welcome to our first episode. Should we introduce ourselves?
I mean, that seems polite, yeah.
So you go first?
All right, you're just going to throw me straight under that bus. Okay, cool. I'm Ellie. Hi. How do I introduce myself? What do people need to know? I am Ellie. I am a body witch, which essentially means that my work is an alchemization of breath work and rest practices and somatics in with folk magic. And I mostly work with, well, I only work with creatives and witches and change makers to help them get more into their body so that they can be more in their own magic. That's me. That's what I do. Do we need to know anything else?
No.
Okay. That's good. Tell me about you. Who are you?
I'm Jolie. So if you are a body witch, that makes me the bear, which is mainly because I am a bear. I deeply hibernate in the winter, very sleepy, very hungry. Those are my two states. And I lean in and embrace them and love my sleepy bear parts and my hungry bear parts. And
you teach other people how to do that too.
Yeah. I was going to say my fierce mama bear parts, which do occasionally...
Yeah, little claws come out.
Little claws occasionally come out. So yeah, I work with recovering A-plus students to help them let go of some of that conditioning that teaches them that perfect is possible, that your worth and your... like value is tied into your accomplishments and in tied into getting things right. And usually there's conditioning in there around following the rules. So my recovering A-plus students, we got there because we were the good kids in class. We were the responsible ones. We were the reliable ones. We didn't make a fuss. We didn't take up too much space. We prioritized other people's needs above our own, and that's what got you that glowing recommendation on your report card of Jolie, such a pleasure to have in class. So working to let go of that conditioning because it's actually not serving you as an adult and is stopping you from feeling enough, really, at the core. If you really struggle to ever feel like what you've done is good enough, I believe it's because no one is giving us A pluses anymore and we don't know how to cope with that. Finding that self-worth and that self-belief and that self-trust to really feel good enough and to go after a life that is designed for you and is not built on these boxes of who you were told you should be. So yeah, that is a little bit about us.
Yeah, I feel like my introduction was indicative of the fact that it is relatively early morning and I am a little bit sleepy, and you are much more concise and clear in what it is that you do.
I have spent the last week, maybe, thinking about nothing else. This is our second time recording this. Our first episode, and last week when we were trying to talk about what I do, I had nothing.
You almost like crawled under the table to get away from the question.
That would have been preferable if I could just hide under the table. That would be great, but it would not be a good podcast. And so this week I was like, I'm going to figure out how to describe what I do.
All right, well, next week I will come prepared. Yeah. I will have figured it out. I will have it ready. Do my homework. Be a good student.
And so, yeah, that's us. And we live together. We are partners.
Gay lovers.
That too.
The only time I ever describe us as that. It just gives me great joy.
And so, yeah, we decided to start a podcast together.
Because honestly, we think we're delightful. And we have these conversations where I'm like, God, I wish I could talk to the people that I work with like this amount of clarity, this amount of like passion, yeah. And yeah, being able to talk to each other and really drop into our groove just feels like a wonderful thing to be able to do.
Yeah, I think we show up as the like most sparkliest versions of ourselves with each other,
yeah.
And we are trying to somehow capture that because yeah, but I think both of us struggle with like marketing and like selling and talking about what we do and talking like on the internet. Like we go into a different mode once mm-hmm. it's like, oh, I'm making content and I'm writing an email.
It becomes a little wooden and
yeah.
a little less, yeah.
And certainly for me, it goes into that like A-plus mode of like, this is how I should do this. And this is how I should sound. And let me talk about funnels and things that like, I just would never, like, that's not who I am.
Ever heard you talk about funnels ever.
You missed that. You missed my funnel era.
Oh no, what a shame.
I forgot. That's normally how I introduce myself. I normally introduce myself as a change doula, tarot reader, lover of Taylor Swift, and naps, and also being solar powered. So that is, I think that is the other part of that pair piece of like, I am massively solar powered and we are coming out of winter and I am starting to feel more alive. But yeah, winter and lack of sun hits me massively. Like I can feel like all of the color just drain out.
I think being an Australian, I am also more solar powered than I first suspected. Not quite to the same extent as you, but yeah, like getting to this side of winter really, whew, I can feel it in my body. It's like these little kind of stirrings of energy. Like, hey, remember the feeling of being alive rather than just like getting through the day? It's like, oh yeah, hi, it's been a while.
We went for a walk last week and you did a little wiggle when you saw the flowers coming up.
I love them.
So I think we're both feeling that change of season and we're like, hey, let's start a podcast.
Yeah, it's a great time to start things.
And so, yeah, so you can expect weekly episodes kind of just about whatever's on our mind and a little bit about what we do. We were saying like, oh, what do we want this podcast to be about? And like, is it work focused? Is it personal focused? And then I was like, but everything we talk about and everything we do and how we live our lives is our work.
Yeah, we are like embodiments of the work that we do. So,
or we're really boring and we have no life other than the work we do.
Hey, I make quilts. You watch a lot of Taylor Swift videos.
That is my part-time job.
Love to jigsaw puzzle.
I do love to jigsaw puzzle.
These are not things that come into our work. But yes, for a large part. I think the reason both of us, certainly I can't speak for you particularly, but I think that the reason both of us have ended up doing like the work that we do, like as a coach for you and as a embodiment sort of guide for me, is because this is work that we've really done ourselves. Yeah. And needed deeply for our own growth and healing and evolution. And yeah, it feels like a real gift to be able to kind of be like, hey, I love this stuff. Maybe it'll help you too.
Yeah. And I was joking a bit, but like we both love our work deeply. Like I always think about, you know, like what do I do for fun? Like I'm like, but I really love, you know, researching tarot or learning about astrology or like learning even all of like my coaching certifications that I've done. Like I have loved every minute of it. So it like, it is a big chunk of my personality and I've been lucky enough to turn it into a job as well.
Yeah.
So yeah. Okay. So it's us. That's why we decided to start this podcast.
Yeah.
And I thought that we could start every episode. I thought you were going to sneeze.
No, I was just waiting for it.
Oh.
I know it's coming and I'm ready.
I thought we could start every episode with an icebreaker question, a way to help you, our audience, get to know us a little bit better. And hopefully we can get to know you a little bit better if you come share your answers with us. So this week's icebreaker question.
I'm not allowed to know them in advance, so I'm coming in blind and Jolie has all the power here. I just think you should know that.
Okay. This week's icebreaker question is, if you had to eat a crayon, what color would you choose?
Amazing. I'm going to harken back to the delights of being a child in the 90s and like good E number sweets. And I'm going to say I would eat a red crayon because I feel like those red colors, it's going to taste a little bit like berries. It's going to make me super hyper. I'm going to be really into it. How about you?
So I was, maybe this was just an American thing. You can let me know. But I was a child also in the 90s. And I Googled this before the podcast to learn what date this came out. 1993. So I was 7 years old. Crayola released the mac and cheese crayon.
Oh no.
I would eat that crayon in a heartbeat. It would need to taste exactly like Kraft mac and cheese.
Which it can't be that far off, really.
No.
It says casting aspersions upon many people's favorite comfort food.
Yeah, so that was my first choice. But then I was on the Crayola website and you can see all their colors. Oh. And they have some really good fruit named colors. Like there was like a mango tango one.
You think that the color of the crayon you're going to eat needs to be connected to like a sort of food thing in your brain rather than just like it being a really delicious looking color. Just like, yes. Oh, that like that deep magenta color is so rich and so pigmented that I want to put it in my mouth.
I can feel that with the red because I was also a kid like who ate red E numbers.
So delicious.
Like I know that taste of that Kool-Aid, but I think there's something about the names that are like more attract me. Like it's like describing, like if you just like, oh, here's a glass of tea. And you'd be like, okay. But if they're like, oh, this is a glass of tea and it has floral notes and it has this and it has a really good name, like that sucks me in.
Okay, fair.
I need the words. All I right. need to be romanced. And the words you need mac the crayon. And cheese. Oh my God, if there was a pickle crayon though, that would win. Hold on, I have to Google, does Crayola have a pickle color?
We're just going to tally this up to two things Jolie has Googled for the podcast so far.
There doesn't appear to be
missed opportunity Crayola.
A pickle color
missed
just on first Google, but that would also rope me in into wanting to eat it.
Okay, fair.
I don't think I ever really ate crayons as a kid though. Did you? Were you a crayon eater?
No, I was like a, like, you know, that sort of paste glue. Loved a bit of paste glue.
I loved Play-Doh.
Oh, I don't think
I would lick my hands after playing with Play-Doh. It's the saltiness.
Did your mum or your parent used to make Play-Doh? Because my mum was the kind of mum who like homemade Play-Doh rather than buying store-bought.
The answer is absolutely not. But I made Play-Doh with my kids.
See,
and got to experience that delay as well.
No, I would choose glue over Play-Doh for sure.
The paste.
Like when you sort of, you paste, yeah, not like stick glue, but like, you know, the sort of stuff that's basically just flour and water. And you sort of, when you get it on your skin in a thin layer and then you peel it off. Oh, so good. A delectable treat.
Amazing. Awesome. Well, now you know a little bit too much about us.
Yeah.
I'm
mildly embarrassed now. Gonna have like a vulnerability hangover.
If you want to share with us, come over to our Instagrams. The links will be in the description of this podcast episode, or we'll go through it in the outro. But yeah, come share.
Please DM us and tell us what crayon you'd eat, or whether you were a paste eater or a Play-Doh eater. You know, take your pick.
Amazing. Okay.
Amazing.
So, diving into the episode.
Yeah, what's been on your mind?
Am I leading this one?
I mean, I can if you want.
What have we been having conversations about?
Discernment.
Discernment, that's on your mind.
Over and over again, we've been having conversations about discernment.
Tell me more about that.
Well, I think it started, it feels like I'm settling back into a therapist couch. It started like at the beginning of the year where Chani Nicholas, astrologer to all queers everywhere, essentially deemed that this was a year of discernment. And then that just really has been playing out in real time for me. I spent a lot of time this year so far kind of really thinking about my business and what I offer within that. And I suppose like how to get really clear on what I do. And I think the thing that really dropped in this week is almost like the energetic part of that, like where, so fun fact, I am a Libra sun, Gemini moon, Aries rising, which essentially means that I would prefer to have all options to me at all times, and I would like to do all of them at the same time. Thank you, please. And so I've kind of circled around the idea of like discernment, you know, creative containers, like constraints. And I know it cognitively, but yeah, this week it really dropped in that sense of like creating boundaries with myself in the most loving, you know, tender way, because otherwise I end up like a summer sprinkler of energy, just like flinging it everywhere and it not really doing anything, just sort of running around in circles, changing and shifting and pivoting and adapting. And that's really been front and center for me, is that feeling of like, I keep bringing my hands into sort of like a little channel in front of me, this feeling of like channeling. And the discomfort of choice, the discomfort of, you know, choosing or saying no so that you can get really, really, really clear on what it is I want to focus on. And it's horrible and I hate it.
Yeah, I definitely hear you on that. I think, I'm like, you shared your placements. I have to share my placements too.
But my placements are relevant. You know, you can be a mystery if you want.
No, I think, so I'm Leo sun, Scorpio moon, Virgo rising. And I think, one, I would like to be adored by everyone. Mm-hmm. Two, I think I'm capable of doing everything and doing it right. Like A+. And also, no one tells me what to do, including myself. And so
I can verify that this is true. I have tried. It doesn't work.
I really just hate being boxed in. And so I think I'm like, I don't want constraints. I don't want containers. And then like, I deeply need containers though. And I think also like, I'm like, but I can help. Like I truly believe, I'm like, I can help everyone. Even things that like are not in my field, like I try that discernment piece of like, this is my lane, this is what I do. Like, I'm like, but I could do systems and organizations for people. I could be a VA. I would be really good at that. Like, there's just something I'm like, oh my gosh, just hone down into the like, but what am I really like focused on at this moment in time?
Mm.
Like, but maybe I could run a yarn shop. I'd be really good at that.
We really did think about that for a second earlier this week.
We did. So there's this thing about like, I know I can be good at whatever I really set my mind to, but the minute I set my mind to something, I like want to rebel against that and like go and do something else. Or like the minute I set my mind to something and I'm not immediately good at it or immediately successful at it, I want to go do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that discernment for me is like, just keep, like you said, kind of coming back to like, okay, but we have to just pick one track and we have to stay on it. for a little bit of time.
Yeah, I think like even the language of have to is kind of interesting there, because like from my small forays into this, like it actually feels really fucking good to have that containment. Like it's like being swaddled and like, you know, held, right? Like, and in theory, maybe, you know, you could be like, oh, that would feel really tight and like I was trapped, but like there's a real comfort to my nervous system, definitely, to be like, hey, you don't have to consider all the other options. Like you don't have to check all of the details of all of the other options just to make sure you've made the right decision. You can trust that this thing that is deeply, deeply speaking to you, that working with these people specifically, like, you know, working with creatives and witches rather than anyone who happens to feel like they might want embodiment work, like, you can trust that your particular, like, unique expression of the thing that you do or of the person that you are can be enough, that you don't have to add all of the bells and whistles. And yeah, it feels like, you know, a shaky little deer standing on like Bambi legs. But that is, yeah, that's what's really been coming through this week, of like that embodied nervous system, like, of we just do one thing. We just talk to one person. We can help that person so well, better than we can help the scattered random other people. Like, why would we not just do that one thing? And it feels like such a delight, as much as I hate it, you know, because I'm a complex human being with multiple feelings about pretty much everything. Yeah, that's been really interesting to kind of notice come up.
I love this for you. I don't think I'm in the place where I'm like, oh, this feels so good. Yeah. But I do think, so we've been specifically this week talking about discernment in terms of who we serve, and getting really clear on, like, yeah, who kind of is that ideal client, and not trying to have like 7 million ideal clients.
That's been my favorite thing in the past, of like, yeah, I have an ideal client, but actually it's about 4 clients.
Yeah. So I think for me, like, my narrowing down has really been, okay, I'm speaking to like those former A+ students. But even then, I like want to caveat it in so many ways. Of like, it doesn't actually matter whether you got A+. Like, that's just a metaphor for the experience of being in school and like grades being so important, the most important.
I think
and
the,
like,
nice thing about a metaphor is that people get it.
Yeah. So it's the piece that I keep coming back to, of like, just trust that, like, that's the discernment piece of like, I'm speaking to people who understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm speaking to people who like are already bought in. Like, what I find myself, the feedback I get over and over when I'm like stuck with a problem or like talking to a coach about, you know, my emails or something, they're like, you're trying to sell people on the process. Like, talk to people who are already bought in.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm always trying to like sell people on the, or like not sell them on, but like convince them or like justify why I'm so excited about this thing. And I think I'm very much used to like the thing that I'm interested in or excited by being like not valued or like just frivolous or silly or stupid or like, oh, it's just Jolie's hyper-focused for the moment. Yeah. Yeah. Oh God, the weird little thing. That's just, yeah. That hits.
Sorry, I really didn't mean to come.
It's just, I think like, yeah, when you're self-employed and surrounded by people who aren't self-employed, it always just feels like you're doing the weird little thing. Like, I remember we had a family friend when I was growing up who, and this is back in the 90s, would go to flea markets and buy stuff and then sell it on eBay. Amazing. And this was wild. Like, this
amazing.
Like, I don't know when eBay started. I'm going to refrain from Googling it. But it was a fairly new, like,
put a finger to the wind and say 1998.
All right, now I have to Google it.
I'm sorry, you didn't actually have to.
When did eBay start? 1995.
Damn, maybe it didn't get to Australia until 1998.
Possibly, yeah. Oh yeah, because it didn't get to the UK till 1999, but I grew up in the States. Anyways, the point being, like, he was like a weirdo. And like now it would be totally common.
Upcycle
like,
furniture, sure.
Yeah. And so I think that's the like idea I have of myself of like, oh, I'm that person at the family reunion or something that people are like, we don't quite know what she does.
I mean, frankly, that's me with every office job. Like all of my friends with office jobs, I'm like, she's office person, director of stuff. I never know.
I still don't understand what people in office jobs do all day. I'm not discounting when that you do stuff all day. I know. How do you nap? I like a daily nap. But I'm like, how do you know what you're supposed to do? Like
meetings, I think. Famously meetings that could have been emails. I think, yes. I understand office culture now. Thank you, memes.
Standing at the water cooler and meetings that could have been emails.
That's office culture.
Amazing.
I learned this from Dilbert and Kathy Comics and memes from Instagram.
So yeah, should we have a body intermission?
Yes, let's do that. Okay, so yeah, body intermission is, hey, just a gentle reminder, you have a body right now as you listen to us and our dulcet tones in your ears. I would love to gently invite you to maybe notice where you are touching whatever's beneath you. Maybe it's your feet on the floor. Maybe it's your bum on a chair. Maybe you are lying in bed, which feels super intimate. But just noticing where you touch down. Maybe taking a few slow, steady breaths. And seeing if there's anything in your body that might want to loosen a little bit. You know, soften your jaw, soften your shoulders, let your belly relax. Just taking a moment to notice what's going on without any need to judge it. It can be whatever it is. Maybe there's pain, maybe there's discomfort. That's okay. Taking another breath here. And then that brings us to the end of our body intermission.
Amazing.
Do we want to continue talking about discernment?
I was thinking we could switch to what's on my mind.
Yeah, let's do
we
that.
We have like a...
Yeah. Amazing. Tell me.
So what's been on my mind this week, I think, is very much thinking about that A-plus student mindset, that conditioning. I have a child who is, I guess, the year before GCSEs. And so they're doing all of these tests and... I've just been really aware of how much pressure, like, is put on kids, which I know it's not a new topic, but just to really see it, like, to have experienced it as a kid. So for me growing up, particularly when I got to high school, if I got anything less than a 95 on a test, I was disappointed. Oof. And anything less than 90% was not acceptable. Like, it just didn't happen.
Not acceptable for you or not acceptable for, like, your school and your parents?
I'd say for my internal sense of self.
Yeah.
Not... It felt... It felt not acceptable for, like, I had goals and ambitions, but it just felt not acceptable to my identity as, like, I was an A-plus student. Yeah. I was, like, had to be the best. I don't think my parents... So if I brought home a report card, like, individual tests, my parents would never see those scores. I wouldn't show them to them. They didn't ask. If I brought home a report card with an A- on it, I would get questioned about, like, hey, why'd you get an A-? What, like, did you not do your homework? Like, I remember one time I had geometry, which is just not a subject that I excelled in. I don't really work well with shapes. I like abstract concepts that, like, I have to visualize things. It's just not how my brain works. Mm. So I got an A- in geometry, but the comment from my teacher was talks too much. Because I did. I don't know. I was a chatty little kid. I just really hated geometry. I hated my teacher. He was an obnoxious older man who was rude and sexually, like, explicit with kid. Like, he was just, it was just, like, the grossest teacher that I think every person has grown up with at some point, where he just, he never made comments to me, but, like, I just didn't like the class. I didn't like my teacher.
Bad vibes.
I didn't, like, I would ask questions and, like, he basically didn't encourage me to have any critical thinking. And I remember, like, yeah, I just didn't like it. So I would goof off and chat because I had undiagnosed ADHD. And so, yeah, that was the comment on my report card. And yeah, I didn't get in trouble as in there were consequences from it, but I definitely had disapproval from my dad and been like, well, if you weren't talking in class, you wouldn't have gotten an A-, you might have gotten an A. Mm-hmm. And just be like, okay. Like, so I have lived it in terms of just, like, having really high expectations for myself. Having my expectation for myself is that I would get 100. Like, if I, until things got much harder, I'd say, like, you know, calculus point, where we started getting tests in which you weren't expected to get 100, just because
they weren't designed that way.
Yeah, just weren't designed for you to get 100. Like, they were very, very challenging. Yeah. I had very high expectations for myself is the point of all that. And so now I'm seeing my child go through this, and he had a test and he got one wrong, and it meant, which was the highest score in his class. And then, but it meant that he got, like, a lower GCSE predicted grade than he was supposed to get. And his teacher was super, we had parents evening, this is why it's on my mind. His teacher was super encouraging, was like, do not worry about this. Like, and my child isn't worried about it. But he had some other grades which were lower than supposed to be, but they were still really good. But, like, there was just so much pressure and so much conversation around, like, yeah,
this is what he could be doing. This is, better. And why? Like, wow, he's doing really good.
Yeah. Why is there so much pressure? And I can see him starting to stress about, like, GCSEs and which ones to pick and how many he has to pick and, like,
Yeah. That feeling of, like, which maybe everyone else can recognize from being, you know, 14, 15, like, oh, this decides the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I think is partially being 14 and 15 and having no concept of, like, wow, your life is really long and so much is going to happen. But also, like, I think is instilled by the schooling system of, like, just, with that, with the standardized testing and the, like,
yeah,
the gentle expectation that you should always be doing more.
Yeah. And I think, like, I'm really trying to encourage my kids of, like, hey, you don't have to be brilliant at every subject. Like, if you love a subject, you can pursue it regardless of, like, how well you're doing. But I don't mind if my kid is failing drama because he doesn't like it. Like, it's okay. It's really not a big deal. Like, I don't feel this need to, like, pressure them to be getting whatever. And GCSEs now, it's like nines across the board. Like, so sometimes you get a 5. It's all right. And I just, like, so the kind of end of my story is I graduated high school valedictorian, went to a very good university, and failed a class. And it destroyed me. Like, I can't even explain how much it destroyed me. and how I was just like, okay, cool, I have to drop out now. And which I did. I transferred out, actually, I didn't transfer because I started brand new. I moved to the UK and started over at a UK university.
Leave the country.
I did. I genuinely, it's like we're joking, but I had the thought of, I can't go to another university in the States because I will be known as the girl who failed out of MIT. Like, everyone would ask, like, oh, where did you transfer in from? And I would, and like, it, everything would be a step down from where I was.
Yeah.
And so I, like, my self-identity was like, I can't do that. And so moving to the UK meant that I started fresh. No one knew or cared where I came from. I was still graduating with all my peers. Like, there were, and there were a lot of other factors. But yeah, I genuinely felt like, okay, cool, I failed a class. I can't do this. I'm not capable. Everyone was right that, like, this was too much of a stretch for me. And so I'm going to drop out because that's, like, all I did was fail a class. And, like, I just thought there's no solutions here. There's no fix to this problem.
It's so wild, like, the rigidity that that A-plus mindset kind of instills in you, right? Like, instills in anyone. Like, as someone, I definitely wasn't as focused on the numbers of my grades, and I was definitely much more, like, leaning towards the arts. Like, I thrived in drama and in English, and in, like biology, but, like, the more analytical, like, maths, physics, yeah, was just, it didn't fit my brain well. But yeah, I think I still definitely had so much of that, like, high achiever, gifted kid energy. So even if it wasn't about, like, getting the perfect grades, it was like always being the best, like getting the lead role in the musical, getting into, you know, the very small, like, choir that was like the elite choir. Yeah. And yeah, like, I think my kind of moments of that, like, disintegration of self where I, you know, where I failed at those things, like, I was not the lead role in the musical. I was sort of one of the other main roles, but it was still like, nope, didn't get the lead, so therefore I must have failed at this.
Yeah. You know,
I was in the choir, I was in the band, but, like, I didn't get into the barbershop, and so must have failed, like, yeah, not good enough. And yeah, like, how rigid it is and how it closes you down.
Yeah.
Like, it closes you down. And I always kind of look at things from a nervous system perspective because that's my frame of reference for things. But yeah, I think about, like, you know, high school Ellie and how much she was just in activation all the time, in stress all the time, and in the stress of, like, constantly judging myself against everyone else, which is, you know, also a threat, also read as a threat. And, like, when we're, like, in that constant stress place, our frame of reference does get really tight. We see everything in that black and white binary of, like, cool, I either get this or I don't, and I'm a failure. Like, and when we're sort of in that real tight binary and, like, it feels like there's only two choices and both of them are, like, you know, one's really great and the other one is that we fall into the fire and we die and we have to move countries, or that we, you know, are terrible and will never be, like, worth anything because we didn't get into the high school, you know, drama lead role. Like, it shuts off so much possibility for us.
Yeah.
It's like, oh God, so unkind.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, that's been on my mind a lot. And just thinking about how much, like, how early we're taught that, like, you need to be achieving, you need to earn, like, your place, you need to work hard for your place.
Mm-hmm.
And then how much that carries on into, like, our the rest of our life, in which, like, if an accomplishment comes too easily, we think we didn't work hard enough for it. We didn't earn it, so we can't have it. Yeah. Like, or how much we feel like, you know, making a mistake means I failed and we don't want to cop to, like, I think how much we stay in things, in relationships, in jobs, in businesses, in anything, we stay in it because if we like admit that we're not happy, it feels like admitting that we made a mistake in that like initial choice. Mm. And so, yeah, we just get really stuck in this conditioning because we like need to be the best. And I remember, so I have left a marriage. I guess I'm divorced is the way to say that. But I remember when I got married to that person, thinking about like, oh, I'm so happy I got married young. I got married when I was 21, because I could have like a 50th wedding anniversary. Like I wanted the accomplishment of like, I've been married longer than anybody. Like it was such like a, yeah. And so to like leave that marriage and to be like, was like feeling like I failed mm-hmm. in that accomplishment, just stay married, or like to have this milestone of like, look how much someone has loved me for so long. And so, yeah, that's been on my mind this week of like how much that conditioning from school, whether you were the kid who got the A pluses or whether you just always felt short, there's that pressure to achieve mm-hmm. and to not make a mistake. And like, yeah, that if you work hard enough, you would do better is really like, yeah, just puts so much fault on you all the time. You're like, well, obviously I just didn't work hard enough.
Mm, so sticky.
Yeah. I just didn't study hard enough. I should have revised more. I should have done this more. Because if I had done, like, it's like this really binary of like that work in, effort in is
equals results.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just not true. And like, that might be a challenging thought to like initially hear, but like, yeah, actually things can be really easy and really fun and really light and really joyful and things can just fall in your lap.
I would almost posit that when things are joyful and spacious and you feel settled and grounded and safe, that much more is possible.
Oh, definitely. And actually, now that I think about it, it's funny because I remember when I was like given valedictorian, or like they told me I was valedictorian, which just means you finished top of your class, for anyone who doesn't know.
We've all watched enough American high school dramas to know what valedictorian means, or at least get the vibe.
Fair. I thought I was like, I didn't earn this. Like because school was very easy for me. Mm. I just remember having this real feeling of like, I didn't work hard enough for this. Like, I don't deserve this but part of me, like part of it was, I think, rooted in something very real of like, you guys are looking to me as if I achieved something and I didn't feel like I achieved something because mm-hmm. it was really easy. And like, what I was really interested in even back then was like, I think the person who finished last should give a speech, because like they kept showing up every day and like I'm just more interested in that story than my story of like, actually I'm quite lucky in the academic setting and it came quite easy to me and like I didn't study for tests. Like there were kids who worked harder mm-hmm. but I think that speaks to what you're saying of like, actually for most of school it was a very joyful, easy experience for me and I really thrived in that containment of like, hey, here's some problems.
Hey, circle back.
Yeah. So yeah, I thrived in that container of like, oh, this is really joyful. This is really easy. This is really light for me. But yeah, there were also a lot of downsides of like, when then things got tough, I thought I'm not capable. Like, so there's like a both and there of like, hey, actually you're capable of like doing, you're capable of like learning how to do things.
That's a whole other episode
that
you could talk about, like being capable of learning things, because I think it ties in really closely to both of our work. But I think it was interesting when you were talking about that sense of not feeling like you achieved, or, you know, a valedictorian, you didn't deserve it. Like, it's almost like the achievements that we are given from external perspectives don't really mean anything.
Mm.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, I kind of felt, I have also, I'm not yet divorced. I'm on my way to being divorced in that, like, the paperwork's going through. I'm out of the relationship and I'm not, like, being super awkward with my current partner and making him. Anyway. Oh, no, I got so distracted by all of that that I lost what I was saying.
You've also gone through divorce through the end of a relationship.
And, like, I think, you know, the achievement of getting married for a lot of people who are raised female is held very high. And I had a very similar kind of, like, hollow feeling of, like, oh, I thought this was meant to feel like more.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was meant to, you know, signify something more than, because that was what I was sold. Yeah.
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 Sticky little attachments to achievement and external praise and external validation. So yeah, that's my thoughts this week.
Nice. I liked them.
We are closing out each episode with a tip from me, calling them bear tips. And my suggestion for this week is to put in a B+, a C-. Like, go into something and don't give it A+ effort. Like, what if you just were like, meh, I'm gonna half-ass this. Like, actually, it ends up being so much more fine than you could possibly imagine. There are so many things in my life that I thought, this is the thing, like, that comes from that A+ mindset of, like, I thought that getting my homework done early, getting my, like, meeting, you know, deadlines was, like, so important. And then, you know, we'd all have that experience of, like, half the class hasn't done the homework and the teacher extends the deadline and you're like, but I did all the work on time. Like, where's my credit? But, like, how much in life, like, actually nothing is a big deal where I'm like, oh, if I miss something on this form, like, actually the person will just call me and it will be okay. Mm-hmm. And they'll things get fixed. Like, everything is really fixable. So one, like, half-ass things and don't stress about making mistakes, but also, like, not everything needs to be done at 100%. Like, what if you just were like, just gonna 50% it today?
Yeah. It's great. It's a passing grade.
Oh, 65 was a passing grade in America. So just do 65%.
Maybe that's why I'm more laid back than you are.
So yeah, that's my tip for this week.
Amazing.
If you have questions, comments, or want to tell us what crayon color you would eat, you can come leave us a comment on Instagram. You can find me at Jolie Caparco. Or you can find...
Do you want to spell it or is it going to be in the show notes?
It's in the description below.
Amazing.
You can find Elle.
It's Ellie Bauer Johnston. Ellie is spelt E-L-L-E.
Also be in the description below.
Also in the description below.
Or you can send us an email, bearandbodywitch@gmail.com. And yeah, we'd be delighted to hear from you. Thanks so much for listening and we'll be back in your ears next week.
We'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.